This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Safe and well, wherever you hail from, if you're listening in this country, or we have people listening in other countries as well. A lot of buzz still over Naomi Osaka's withdrawal from the French Open. Kind of a wake-up call for sports and how some say they neglect mental health. On this show, you know, we talk about that. We've had psychologists on, psychiatrists on. We've talked about what's happened in this country with shootings and people who suffer from various forms of what I call mental disease, the stigmatism and the isolation because of COVID and how that has pushed people to the brink. So this, I think, is more than a wake-up call just for sports, but for mental health in general. There's also big news about the president, the fact that he went to Tulsa. He's the first president to go to Tulsa. And if you don't know why, it's because of the massacre that happened 100 years ago in Tulsa. Absolutely awful to hear some of those details. The massacre killed as many as 300 people, destroyed over 1,200 homes, and really ripped up what was called Black Wall Street. It was a thriving community of African Americans back in the day, back in 1921, and there was an uprising over a crime that they never could nail down, saying that a black man had attacked a white woman in an elevator. So it was a horrible moment in our history, a very, very dark place. And the president went there and talked about that history, and he said, "For much too long, the history of what took place here was told in silence, cloaked in darkness, but just because history is silent, it doesn't mean that it did not take place." And this, I think in this administration, it's that effort to come to grips with what's happening in American life and what happened in the past, and to know, as Biden said, we should know the good, the bad, the everything. That's what great nations do. They come to terms with their dark sides. I don't think Republican, Democrat, whatever you call yourself, would disagree with that. I mean, listen, if you want to be the greatest country on the face of the earth, which I think we are, then you do come to grips with whatever the history is. So this, I think all the way around, I know, was a good thing, was a positive thing, and I doubt very many politicians would say that it wasn't a good thing. All right, there are many, many, many other pieces of history we could tackle and argue about, and we have done that on this show, absolutely, without a doubt. The other buzz in the land, because I say this show is about what happens in your backyard and what happens in mine. If you're a vegetarian, don't pay attention. But if you're a meat eater, I am, hackers went after meat. A fifth of the capacity has been wiped out. Oh, I can just see the panic buying now. In fact, I went to the market and realized, hamburgers, it's not what's for dinner. And because people are snapping up meat after the cyber attack forced the shutdown of all JBS's U.S. beef plants, they account for so much of the American supply. And those numbers are from the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union, which represents workers at the company's plants in the U.S. There are lots of JBS meatpacking facilities in the country, and they've experienced some level of disruption. Now, the company line is that they're making significant progress to resolve the cyber attack that resulted in impacts, not just in the United States, but guess what? Globally, and it's going to have the vast majority of plants, they say, operational on Wednesday. So once again, a notorious Russian-linked hacking group is behind the cyber attack. Supposedly, in the investigative period, this is what people in the know that do this for a living believe. This cyber gang has a different name. They go by R-Evil. It's unclear if R-Evil's hackers operate in Russia. They have a public face. They've got a user on the dark web cybercrime forum, XSS, who goes by the name Unknown. Do you not feel like we're on some kind of video game that we don't want to be in the middle of? Yeah. R-Evil typically uses a dark web blog dubbed Happy Blog to name and shame victims when they decline to engage in ransom negotiations. R-Evil has yet to post a blog dedicated to JBS. But stay tuned. They probably will, because this is how they operate. It's unclear what's happening as far as ransomware, but this JBS attack is absolutely putting us in a precarious situation. I say us, people who eat meat, at least occasionally. So you think of the handful of big companies who control this sector, and it's Tyson Foods, it's JBS, and it's Cargill. That's it. They control about two-thirds of America's beef. So you take down one of those babies, and you're hitting supplies. I don't care what anyone says. You're hitting supplies. Look, we've seen this before with the COVID-19 outbreaks. Remember the plants? Nobody. Idled. There was meat shortages across the country. So here we go again. Get ready. And I think people are immediately, as soon as they heard that, I think people immediately started to go and get whatever meat products they needed. I mean, look, JBS is the owner of Pilgrim's Pride. You've heard of it, the second biggest U.S. chicken producer. I remember there was this whole chicken shortage thing supposedly happening. This is not good. So stay tuned for more on this. I mean, JBS has facilities in 20 countries. 20 countries. And they're talking about resuming operations and having a lot of that kick up by Wednesday. But there still is going to be a little bit of a lag, I think, for some people in some of these markets where they've run to the markets to get whatever supplies, that they need. And that's where we're at. Every day it's a different cyber hack. Notice it? I mean, this is really taking over and dominating the conversation, because what's next? You know, what's next? These companies had better really be taking cyber security seriously. And not that they aren't, but I'm saying you do everything you can with somebody in the C-suite, somebody there, somebody as the point person, and more than that, add bodies to the situation if you have to, because I think it's just that serious for the disruptions that can be mounted. So it's not the place to be cheap. If there are cuts somewhere, I think that is a place where you have to build up and not cut. Coming up, you. Thoughts. Yep, the mailbag. I'm headed to the mailroom there. I'll meet you there in a couple of minutes.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Thanks to all of you who have sent in thoughts about all kinds of things. Remember, 24/7, you can do the same, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. This one is from Robert, and he says, yo, Kate Delaney, thumbs up on having the big guys who rock companies as founders in the cyberspace. There were two different people that you had on your show that I thought were amazing in the past week and a half talking about things to look at. One of them was Matt Gorgeous. I heard you mention his name a couple of times, and I actually ordered his book. And you've had him on a couple of times. So I thought it was smart what they both talked about as far as what's not happening and what the smart people are doing and just the crazy numbers of cyber attacks there are. Yeah, every 39 seconds, boom, 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 boom. And then the awareness of this list that floats around of companies that'll pay ransomware that will pay $4.4 million to have the key that they hope unlocks the misery. And Matthew thought that that was the wrong way to go. He saw what's happening in Ireland, and they refused to do it. And, of course, in healthcare, it was terrible what was happening there because of a cyber criminal. But there is a point to be made. You keep giving in, giving in, giving in, giving in, giving in, and then pretty much you just either got to pay or you're out, and they'll just cripple you forever and a day. But that's why there's, some would argue, that's why there's insurance. If you have a giant company and you have that insurance, you need to get back online, whatever it is you're doing, whether you're the world's largest meat supplier or you supply 45% of the electricity in the Northeast and parts of the Southeast, that you can't wait and haggle over the politics of what it looks like. And this isn't going away. So there's more discussion to be had. I was thrilled to be part of I'm part of a cyber advisory board, thanks to Matt, VigiTrust, and they had a VigiTrust global advisory board. They had a state of security and compliance, and I was on a women in cybersecurity panel, and listening to a lot of that info during the various segments, it was just blew my mind. Some of what we were hearing, and reinforced that. Yeah, this is a big bad world when it comes to cyber criminals, and they know how to hack in, and they're getting better and better and better, and there's always somebody who's a step, a beat ahead, and squashing them is key, and key for these cybersecurity companies, but it's ongoing every moment. This one is from Joe, who lives in California. Kate, I listened to you on KCAA and a couple of other stations in Cali. I know you used to live here. Woohoo! I bet you miss it. Did you ever go to the Sequoia National Park? There was a crazy story about a guy who died Memorial Day. He was hiking, and he fell. I don't know if it was because he missed the boundaries or what happened. Apparently, you know, his partner who was with him was trying to grab him, but it was too late, and he fell to his death, which is very, very sad. I did hear this story. In fact, I just heard this story, so thanks for pointing that out. He fell like 500 feet. I've been to Sequoia once. I would want to go there again. It would be on my list. It's incredible. If you haven't been there, it's absolutely worth a trip. So they were on the summit of Mount Russell, and it's near the eastern boundary, I guess, of that park, if you want to call it that. And it's a 56-year-old man, and he was with a woman, and she tried to grab him because he lost his balance. Both of them tumbled down the mountain edge. She was able to break her fall about 30 feet down the summit. He couldn't. So there was another person in the hiking party. They declared an emergency using an emergency locator beacon, and the ranger caught that. They called 911, all of that. But at the time of the accident, two rescue teams were already rescuing another unconscious hiker from the Big Five Lakes area. And a helicopter was sent to save the hikers. They rescued the woman who was stranded on the ledge and took her to a hospital. Then she had to undergo surgery. It was that bad. But the man died from the fall. Very sad. They recovered his body, and they took him to a funeral home. I mean, it is like that, right? I mean, that's, what are you going to do? It's a tragic. And there's just all kinds of questions as to what happened in the park. You know, how does that happen? Because they try to advise people that come to the park after being mostly indoors to be careful, and especially it's busy and you're in the wilderness, and what do you need to do, and what do you do in the case of an emergency? And they're not chastising these people because this is a terrible tragedy, but there is something about limits and taking care of the people that are there with you, and be prepared to go back if you have to go back. If it's too much, go back. Boy, I'd be the first person to raise my hand. Wait, I can't handle it. I thought I was okay. And I've done the hiking thing, and I know what it's like to think that you can. And I don't know that this had anything to do with what happened at the Sequoia National Park, because I think it's terrible, it's a tragedy, so yeah, awful. But to their point, I mean, I thought I was in great shape, and I was hiking in New Mexico, and I went with somebody that I trusted, that I thought he was a good hiker, and we went later in the day, and we were walking down in the dark. Whatever animals are there, whatever switchbacks, I don't know, we're in the dark. So because I was a television news anchor and somebody was concerned, they sent a helicopter looking for us wow, that was embarrassing, but I was happy to see it because we were kind of coming down at the tail end of it, and the bright light, you know, shining a bright light on us helped illuminate the little bit that was left. It was scary. It was stupid not calculating how long it would take to get up and how long it would take to get down. And I think I learned my lesson from that, like to be a little more prepared and not just say, well, yeah, let's do this thing. Oh, really? It's almost 5 o'clock. Maybe that's not the right thing to do. This one is from Carl, and Carl says, Kate, you are so entertaining. I have to tell you that I really enjoy your show. I hope that you read my email. I think more people need to pay attention to the show. Some of your offhanded comments, I don't know that people are clever enough to get, but I am, my dear, and I wanted you to know that because you are the queen of going to the movies to escape. I wondered if you had seen anything recently worth seeing. I saw, you know, I like the crime, detective, gritty, sometimes scary movies, you know, depends. But I saw something because it reminded me of when I was a kid, and it was not really a kid's movie, although it is a Disney movie, but Cruella. And Emma Stone is in this movie, and Emma Thompson's in this movie, and it's just really well done. It's really clever. It is kind of a dark comedy, I'm going to say. It's kind of a dark comedy. And for what it's worth, you know, 88% like this movie on Google, and Rotten Tomatoes gave it 74%. And I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting. It moved pretty fast, and me and the hubs went to see it. If you have anyone in your family that's sort of teen or above, that would probably, I don't know, it would probably work. It was a kind of a crime comedy, they're calling it. So yes, I saw that, and I've seen so many other movies. I saw the one with Jason Statham too, and I can't think of the name of it. And that was good. And that falls into the bank robber, criminal, got you before I'm gotten kind of a movie. I would give that pretty high marks too as well. Remember, you can send me your thoughts 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Drug maker Moderna has started the process to gain full approval from the Food and Drug Administration for its two-dose COVID-19 vaccine. The company announced Tuesday that it has begun submitting data from several studies on the shot. Moderna's vaccine has been administered in the U.S. under an emergency use authorization from the FDA, with more than 124 million doses having been given out so far. The company said that it also plans on asking for an emergency use authorization for its vaccine for use in children ages 12 to 15. Pfizer received an authorization for the same age group last month. And President Biden has suspended oil and gas leases in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, making permanent the temporary moratorium he issued on his first day in office. The order reverses a Trump-era policy allowing oil and gas exploration in the nature reserve. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy called the cancellation of leases wrong and an attack on his state's economy. In a tweet, Dunleavy promised to use every means necessary to oppose the order. This is USA Radio News. British intelligence officials are the latest to reopen the possibility that the coronavirus leaked from a lab in Wuhan, China. Tim Berg has more.
Calls continue for a more thorough investigation from the World Health Organization regarding the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. The British intelligence service is reevaluating their views on the lab leak theory, with some British spies telling the New York Times that it is feasible. Kentucky Republican Congressman James Comer is a House Oversight Committee ranking member.
At the very least, we're going to find out that China was not transparent. We're going to find out that China covered up what they knew. China's going to have a lot of explaining to do. And I think that the American people not only are going to demand that the Democrats hold hearings on this, they're going to demand that the Democrats join the Republicans in holding China accountable.
USA Radio News. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs believes virtually all disease states can be backtracked to digestive problems.
Deficiencies in stomach acid can affect all downstream systems. Taking digestive enzymes can be amazingly helpful for dealing with deficiencies in stomach acid. Enzymes require low pH for activation. You can also use aloe vera juice, by the way. Sugars in aloe vera have a coating effect on the digestive system. Longevity has a cool product called Noni Plus, which is made from aloe and the noni fruit. It's tasty. It can also function to support digestive acidification of the stomach, and activation of digestive enzymes.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your digestive system by ordering Noni Plus from Longevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Make to the tune of millions. Will the Queen Mary sink? And how many people took up smoking during the pandemic? It's all part of what's on tap. Yes, pour yourself a cold one and take a listen to this and let me know what you think. So, we do know in 2019, according to research, a global record high of 1.1 billion global smoked. They smoked. The number of smokers was directly tied to population growth. Now, this is according to a peer-reviewed study published in the medical journal The Lancet. The study said that in the last 30 years, smoking tobacco accounted for more than 200 million deaths. The annual economic costs exceed $1 trillion. Tobacco and using it, smoking it, is still the number one preventable cause of death worldwide, according to many doctors, including the chief medical officer for the American Lung Association, a guy named Dr. Albert Rizzo. 10 countries made up two-thirds of the global tobacco smoking population. You want to know who they are? China, India, Indonesia, the U.S., Russia, Bangladesh, Japan, Turkey, Vietnam, and the Philippines. Oh, my pals from the Philippines. Despite the reported decrease in smoking, Rizzo says other data remains high because nicotine is one of the most addictive substances. He said the early adoption of smoking in teens makes quitting difficult later in life. The U.S. also saw the lowest number of cigarette smokers ages 18 to 25. So the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control Prevention reported smoking decreased in the U.S. from 20.9% in 2005 to 14% in 2019. So there were some positive numbers, if you want to call them positive, but cigarette sales, did they increase or decrease during the pandemic? If roughly 89% of smokers became addicted by age 25, then they're trying to target, or supposedly the target should be younger smokers. But I think the numbers will be lower, and I say it's on tap because we certainly don't know those numbers yet, but 2020, they'll be coming out soon. Cigarette sales actually increased during the pandemic because fewer smokers sought help in trying to quit. So the number of people that were trying to quit fell, you know, like 27%. You know, there's different ways to measure that. 190,000 fewer Americans called toll-free smoking cessation helplines compared to the year before. So that doesn't bode well. But then there were perhaps less people buying cigarettes in a sense that were running out to get cigarettes. So it's kind of a mix of what these numbers will look like. That's why it's on tap. It should be coming out soon, and then we'll be able to look at that data in the next couple of weeks and see, wow, what happened during the pandemic for real? Were there more people dragging on cigarettes? Because imagine the stress, and who cares? I run out, I wear my mask, and I grab my cigarettes because I'm not, this is not the time to quit. And how many people thought that, or how many people started? They'll have a better sense of it once they're able to crunch some of the numbers, like the American Lung Association and the way they collect a lot of the data. You know, it's, nicotine is, I heard once from a doctor, nicotine is the most addicting thing, period. And you wouldn't think it necessarily when you think of the other things that people are addicted to, but it is so difficult to quit. So difficult to do that. I mean, people use patches, gums, lozenges, all of that. And for some, it works. I mean, even cold turkey, I guess, works for some people. I am grateful that is nothing that I ever took up. I actually don't know that many people that smoke, come to think of it. I think I did back in my college days, but I would say I don't know many people now that smoke. 85 years since its maiden voyage, the RMS Queen Mary has survived a lot. Transatlantic crossings, a world war, rogue waves, and it's been docked in Long Beach for the last five decades. It's a big tourist attraction, huge tourist attraction, but it's pretty much in trouble because there's been years of neglect by the people who've operated it. So leaky and creaky and everything else. It needs a lot of repairs, about $23 million. If you look at all the court documents and inspection reports and all of that was released, there is a concern that if it's not done soon, the ship would fall into critical disrepair and be in danger of sinking. Oh, that would be terrible. What would they do on Rockin' Eve if they couldn't go to the Queen Mary? It's, you know, there's a lot of costs that come along with maintaining something that big. How do you pay for that? How do you maintain it? And there have been proposals that would have sent it to New Zealand, Canada, and even back to England. In 1992, the city in Los Angeles, they fought a plan to move it to Hong Kong. In 97, a promoter proposed sailing it to Japan for a few years to raise money for repairs. The city rejected that. At one point, Disney looked at the Queen Mary as the center of an oceanside theme park. That fell through. She's been jilted and left alone, other than tourists coming by to see her sinking. So the city's been trying to get the Queen Mary right for 40 years. One leaseholder from another to another to another. The mayor, Robert Garcia, was even talking about that during a news briefing last month. The Queen Mary's current state of disrepair is extensive. The structural steel is corroded. The hull is compromised. It leaks. There's all kinds of safety problems as a result of that. And it has been docked in Long Beach since 1967. And the hotel and the history of it, the whole thing, has been very, very big for the city. But now you've got these repairs that have to happen, or, you know, the current operator is in bankruptcy proceedings. So the ship could flood, they say, or even capsize within the next 2 years. So I have something urgent to tell you. If you want to see the Queen Mary, get out to Long Beach now before she sinks. Because I think that she'll sink. The way that this is going, she's not going to be able to make it, the old girl. I mean, just, you know, music, food, holiday festivals, New Year's Eve, Halloween celebrations, all of that, haunted rooms, all the attractions. I mean, this is a piece of history. This beauty sailed from 1993, from the very beginning of time, from its beginnings, it sailed in, you know, 85 years ago, making an incredible voyage, and now is pretty close to not making it. You know, who's on the hook for the lease obligations, and what happens, and who are the new bidders, and, you know, all of that. So what's on tap for the Queen Mary? One does not know, except for, I predict, if they don't do something quickly, $23 million just for some urgent repairs doesn't even tell you, once they start digging around, what they could possibly find. I would go and see her before the Gray Ghost sinks. Yeah, I mean, that's what it was called, the Gray Ghost. It was one of the largest ships that the world had seen. The Queen Mary transported royalty, celebrities, politicians in its heydays of the 1930s. After the start of World War II, it was painted gray and converted into a troop ship that ferried Allied soldiers. That's how the Gray Ghost came to be, the nickname, because it had speed, it was camouflage. And then, you know, eventually it ended up in Los Angeles. But, wow, it's very cool, a very cool thing to see. Luckily, I've seen it. If you haven't seen it, and you have a chance, what's on tap for Queen Mary? I think she's sinking. I do. What's on tap for Rolls-Royce is this. If you have serious do-re-mi, I mean serious, Rolls-Royce is now joining a number of other ultra-luxury car makers, which would include, what are the car makers that fit that bill? Bentley, Porsche. They're going to work with a limited number of wealthy clients to build very expensive customized cars. The Rolls-Royce folks revealed that they have a new program called Rolls-Royce Coach Build. They work with a client to help design and build them cars specifically for them. And they're going to work on just one of these cars every couple of years. That is crazy. You'd have like the golden ticket. Which, of course, money wouldn't be an object, so that's not it. But that you would get a Rolls-Royce designed for you, and you're the only one who gets that specialized treatment that year. Insane. So what's on tap of Rolls-Royce? They say the estimated price is about $25 million apiece, and people are already lining up. Who knows how many they will create for individuals. Wow.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We go to Australia for a conversation with Prue McDonald, who's written a book called Stargazer. It's a children's book, but I dare say an adult could pick it up and learn the lessons that a child would learn from Stargazer. So first of all, Prue, congratulations on the book being published, because people talk about writing books, children's books, other books, and then they just never get it published, whether it's self-published or not. So that's a big feat and a big hurdle that you jumped over, and now I know you have a treasure trove of others to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the inspiration behind Stargazer?
Okay, it actually came from my childhood memories of my grandmother's place. She lived on a lake, which I spent every holiday there. And it was just an amazing place. It was just, she had this wild, rambling, colorful garden. And it was just full of flowers and butterflies and fairy wrens. And for me as a child, it was like I could see the fairies there. I just was convinced there were fairies living in that garden.
Nice. So you could see, you're thinking about her garden, you come up with the fairies, but there is a fascination, I think, with fairies. Am I right? Do you think from my childhood I can remember that? But every once in a while, it's been a while, but then you get a revisit of the fairies, and I think that's where you truly captured the magic. Do you have a thing about the fairies, like thinking about your childhood?
Yes, I do. I do have a thing about fairies. I remember reading this book, I think it was by Edith Blyton, and she said if you take a silver thimble and you put in a dewdrop and a spider web, you'll see a fairy. And like I was out there every morning with my thimble looking for fairies. And I think it was just the light darting through the flowers, but I was sure there was. And there was a time when it actually was my sister and I, we had a business of decoupage, which we made fairies, fairy tables, fairy boxes, fairy everything. This was like about 10 years ago, and it was huge. And then suddenly fairies just disappeared.
That's what I mean. Here you were making tables and decoupage, and people were interested in it. It was, like you said, it was very hot. And that's what I think. I think that fairies are in our lives, and they come back around again. And certainly you have brought fairies back around and Stargazer. What? Tell us a little bit about the story. Just tell us a little bit more about the story. So what somebody buying the children's book, what can they expect in this story?
Okay, so Stargazer, it's about a young flower sprite called Star, who's called from the earth, within the earth by the spirit of light into this enchanted garden. And we become a part of her journey as she gains insight into who she is through the creatures that she meets in the garden. You know, like Feya, the unflappable butterfly, and Aura, the spider, who spins magical webs. It's also, I think, about seeing Star struggling to accept the limitations placed on her. She can't leave her flower, and she wants to be a butterfly like Feya, or she wants to be a star in the vast universe. So I think that's what it's mainly about.
And the lessons for kids when they read this book.
A big lesson for me is the needing to belong. I think all of us need to belong to something, whether it's a family or friends, society, the world. And as a child, I never felt like I belonged anywhere. I felt that I was always different to other children. And I think it's important I think children need to belong to something and have that feeling. And Star, she just doesn't feel like she belongs in that garden. She's too limited to that garden. She wants to go beyond it. So that was one of the things. I think the other thing is imagination. I'm always a big believer in intentionality. And if you believe something for long enough, it will happen. So I'm hoping that the children can believe that if they can imagine something, then they can make it happen. Also about discovering their strengths and how to create their full potential. I mean, Star's strength is that she's a keen observer of the world around her and how it relates to her existence. She develops wisdom and sees herself as a part of the earth and the sky as she relates to the sun and the moon and the breeze and all the other animals in the garden.
Well, I think those are great reasons. I mean, who can't relate to the needing to belong and the imagination, etc.? So the name of the book, again, is Stargazer. It's a great children's book. You can get it on Amazon. Prue McDonald is the author. That's who we're speaking with. And I know that you've got another book. It's got a great title that's coming up. Tell us about the next book.
Okay, so the Chuckle Wobbles is about a planet called Mirth. There's two planets, one called Mirth and one called Mopus. On Mopus live the Doldrums, who are sad and grumpy and unhappy. On Mirth, the Chuckle-Wobbles are happy creatures, and they visit other planets. They visit the planet on Doldrum, the Doldrum planet, and they teach the Doldrums how to be happy. So, yeah, long term, it's about gaining moments of happiness throughout your life that you can draw on if you get into a state of depression or anxiety or something like that. Yeah,
and that's relatable, certainly, with children too. When you finished Stargazer, what was that feeling like for you to see it published, to have this book out there in the world?
It was surreal because I waited so long. Yeah, I mean, I wrote it when I was 20. I'm now nearly 70, so I waited a long time to do this. So it still doesn't seem that real to me.
What did your family say about the book?
Oh, they love it. They're very supportive. Very supportive. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And I love that, again, with your sister, she's in thinking of what you did together and then taking that, and there's sort of a piece of that in this book for sure. Well, it's a great gift, and it's a great read for children. There's no question. Stargazer, Prue McDonald, thank you so much for joining us. You can get the book on Amazon.
Thank you so much, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was really serious about that. As a kid, I think that I was like Prue, where, you know, you sort of fit in, but maybe you didn't fit in. And maybe as kids, you always feel like that. And you see children's books, and I think the illustrations are partially so important. Well, yeah, they're a big part of it. And in Stargazer, wow, these illustrations, you know, blew me away. They have one, I won't give the whole book away because I do think it's a great gift for a kid. especially for the young girls out there. And there's one part where they call it the naming ceremony, and it says, I woke up to a day that was dancing with light. Oh, please, we get so much rain here. Dainty winged creatures circled around me. Their silvery voices filled the air. The Rose sisters were humming to themselves, fussing with their gowns, fluffing up their hair. What happened, I asked. Today is your naming ceremony, replied Christabella. It's very special. And it's a very special, special book. When I went to Ireland, and you know that I took the show to Ireland, many of you that have been with me for a long time, and it is that magical place, and they talk about Irish folklore and fairies in Ireland, and what are the things that happen, and where can you find them, and there are people that go on trails to go back and look at the Irish mythology and all of that. And these fairies are kind of different from the softer, lighter, gentle fairies, I think, of Prue's book. But it does remind you of that imagination and taking you away and letting yourself kind of go with it, I guess. And it made me think of the 15, they call them the 15 magical places in Ireland, and we took you to some of those magical places when I had the good fortune of taking the show there two different times, and we were actually going to go on another trip to Ireland when the pandemic hit, and we are going back in March of 2022, maybe before then, and we'll take you in some of those places to look for a different kind of, I think, mythology and tales and, you know, whatnot. But there is a place in Wexford, and it reminded me of her book, and it's a fairy trail. Ooh, it's just something about walking down that trail. All right, thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Once again, make it count, everybody.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.